This is an audio recording of the North Uish Parish Council meeting on Tuesday, the 3rd of March, 2020.
So, open forum. I know there are a couple of things. That's really welcome, Mark and Bob here. And another member of the public. Just for those who don't know, open forum is where obviously things can be brought up, expressed, and discussed. Once open forum is finished, then the meeting starts properly, and then members of the public can't chip in. They're more than welcome to stay, but whatever they have to bring up needs to be brought up in open forum. So I guess, because Mark will want to get away very quickly, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, the reason you're here is that various people were moaning about the parking village, which, I mean, obviously, you've had some very successful events, and obviously we're all sort of bit of as well. And clearly, when the motorcycle thing came up, I guess it wasn't you who organised it, but thank you.
I do have quite a bit of input.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that the complaints were made about the parking of the village.
Chairman, before you go any further, I think I need to declare an interest.
Yeah, okay.
Probably I need to leave the room, I think, because we had quite a few stainless.
Well, I don't think you need to leave the room. I mean, just don't trip it up.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to say anything. It was just brought up.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, we all go through the bridge and we've got a bit of a log jam, and, you know, there's a lot of vans which have to take up a lot of space. I mean, we've had this issue before with fireworks and things. I mean, there's just limited space in the village, but because it was brought up, you know, we thought we'd invite you to just concern that was raised, really.
Well, basically, a lot of it was down to the weather. We had no parking.
No.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, when these things happen in the winter, I mean,
if the weather was dry, they would have been in the paddock of the pub, they would have been in Rob's Field. That would have eased the problem.
So may I ask, had that been the original plan, that they would have been off the road?
It was either that. People's putting a big input into this event. It don't just happen just on a Saturday.
No,
just weeks and weeks of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Informing landowners and the council, the police and everything. There's a lot goes into it. So, yeah, we didn't want to cancel the event.
No, but... But I mean, it was really only that concerned to be raised, obviously. And it was a bit of a logjam.
The police were actually called by residents in Edinburgh, particularly over parking at the junction.
Yeah.
Mm. I know that before the event started, I came down to the pub to bring some number plate registrations to the marshals, which were particularly blocking the junction. But they didn't make any effort to actually contact the riders, unfortunately. We were able to get them moved later in the day.
So it was they were moved?
They were moved later in the day,
after the
event had run, effectively.
Okay. I mean, I think a lot of the responsibility was with the individuals involved,
because most
of the parking was illegal. I mean, they weren't facing the right way. They were up all the way up here on the junction and disjunction.
Junction was the worst thing, really.
So, I mean, it was really... irresponsible with people who just didn't find anywhere to park, I guess.
Yeah. We did have the woodpecker site in the end.
But that was pretty
cool. Yeah, that's good.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, we had that. So we don't turn a blind eye to it and just go out there and park wherever you want. You know?
Yeah, that's
but
brilliant.
People do.
Well, once they've abandoned their vehicles,
people
then you do back to
that's
way.
Right. Yeah. You know?
But maybe, it might be worth emphasising that if the next one, that look, you know, will people please be responsible.
We do put that in the last minutes of the Royals book.
Chairman, can I just also point out that as a parish council we support these events.
Absolutely.
It was a charitable event.
Yeah.
You know, we are dealing with this because it's been brought to our attention.
Well,
but as a parish council we do support these events. We support what Mark and the pub and everything do.
Yeah.
There is nothing else that happens in this parish, which raises the funds that they do down in that pub.
It's just great that we've got a live pub. We haven't had that for many years.
Absolutely.
And the problems of this are not just not a pub problem.
No, not at all.
They are a problem for anyone who's organising an event at any organisation in this
country. We've had it with cycling events, we've had it with all sorts of things, which haven't even been run out of a local establishment. They use this area to base themselves.
Without informing the council or having it on the notice board or anything.
It's just unfortunate that it was, as Mark said, the weather, and it's meant that unfortunately parking has been at a
I mean, it's just that we have a responsibility to bring it up, really.
Well, would it be worth us drawing up some form of guidance that could be circulated to attendants?
I actually wanted
attendees of events to tell them specific places they shouldn't be parking. I mean, there are particular pinch points in the village where people always try to park where they really shouldn't. I wonder if it would be worth circulating those specific points when people are attending events.
Well, I wondered whether it would be worth having a few cones to point out where they cannot park, just on the junctions. Then it wouldn't be a problem then, would
it?
It
wouldn't be a problem.
Because they won't take any notice of what you guide them, possibly, because they're just desperate to park. But if there's cones there, it may make them think a little bit.
The problem is that putting cones on the highway would require a license and training people to put
out
cones.
I don't think it does.
We put them up when we've had visiting, like, the bishop or somebody at the church.
Be,
you know, we put cones
rather
up, then
compulsory.
They're not,
people take it as compulsory, which is...
And there's plenty of cones on the...
What you're suggesting is just coning the junction.
And down there as well, just on the junction. Yeah, but especially here, because coming out is impossible.
Yeah.
And actually a delivery driver couldn't even get in.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was an ambulance or a fire, so it's important that perhaps that's coned off
there. Emergency services need to be able to...
And explain why it needs doing, perhaps. Do you feel that would be... helpful.
I mean, how often are these events likely to happen?
It's once a year.
Oh, I see. Right.
It's once a year.
Yeah.
It's held on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. We could put notices up in the village when it's
held. Be brilliant.
Yeah,
because
that's what we do in other villages. This event's coming through. We take it for granted that a lot of people know.
No, nobody knew, I don't think.
No idea.
No.
Well, we're putting notices up next year.
I got attacked several times by motorcycles as I was delivering the leaflets.
One suggestion that's been made to me is that whether as a parish council we can buy some cones and make them available when events like this.
That would be a good idea, because there's other events besides the pubs, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could be anything. I mean, when there used to be the apple fair and that sort of thing.
It's a good idea.
I mean, if we had a stock of them, that's why they're very expensive. Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to look after them if Mark could tell me when there's going to have an event. I could quickly put them up in position if that would be.
Or any other organisation for that matter.
Exactly.
But I'm just thinking particularly in terms of the pub at the moment. I mean, if that could happen, would you like me to cost up the purchase of
a
dozen or so cones?
Yeah, a dozen or 15 or something.
I can't see it costing a fortune. And if it's.
Or you can go and nick somebody else.
Yeah. if it's for the safety of. Is using the roads.
Where are you going to put the cones on? Like on the junctions?
I was thinking mainly the junctions. This junction here.
So you can actually see as you come
out.
It's
a beast of a junction at any time.
Yeah.
But if cars are parking either side of it, it makes it impossible.
And really shows into the road, actually.
Yeah.
What if you could cost them that?
Yeah, well, you cost it and see it and see whether it's a sensible thing to do with it.
It'd probably be worth checking the legality of what you came from the highway as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it would be a sensible thing. But I'll contact our local people and make sure that's okay.
Thanks very much.
Just got to say this. We made £1,500 that day for ambulance.
Well done.
So
that's brilliant.
That's what we want.
Yeah,
that's great. Fairly usual each year, isn't it?
The first year, it was £1,000 for the defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
And it was £1,000 a year after. The third year was £1,000. And this year, we got £1,500.
That's
and
amazing.
That's fabulous, isn't it?
Great.
It's two clubs. And it's actually, from the two clubs, it's £2,500.
They seem to come as far away as Bristol.
No.
Oh, it's a Bristol van.
Parked on the junction.
Yeah, on the junction, yes. 117.
Derby.
Oh, really?
Kent.
I didn't know we were that popular.
Yeah. We're on the map.
And did they have a route that they go around?
Yeah,
a certain route?
Yeah, that's down in the pub.
I'm just wondering whether, if it occurs again, just a quick map to show where they're going, perhaps.
Like we do when the cycles go through.
Yeah.
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 We'll always have a route map.
Yeah,
always.
Would you be able to photocopy it and put it on the notice board so then everybody, there's no excuse, everybody knows it's happening and everything?
Website,
but I think it needs to be on the notice board as well.
Yeah. We didn't use Dean.
You didn't use
Dean. We didn't use Dean.
Well, it was their parish council last night. I didn't go, but I suspect it.
Yeah. Well, we put a notice up that we were coming down for there, just to wind them up. But
you wouldn't do that, would you?
No.
Yeah.
Right. If you could email me the maps when it occurs, could you do that? Is that possible?
Yeah.
I mean, I could sort out the box here and the website and things.
Well done.
Excellent.
Yeah,
well,
it's really
good
stuff.
Thank you.
Right, just great to have the pub doing something.
Yeah,
really
good.
Keep trying.
Yes.
Oh, you're sincere.
Great stuff.
Thanks.
Right,
thanks
a lot.
Thank you.
If you want to get out, you'll have to put it to your left, the top one. Slides to the left.
Cheers.
So, open forum. Have you anything else that's been brought up?
Yes, hi. I'd like to just thank publicly and to you, pass on to Mr. Whitcomb, who did a great job about clearing up the road there. I spoke to him on the phone the other day. Just to say that it took quite a bit of persuasion on phone calls and having you to actually get something done.
Yeah.
The fact is that last Monday, we had such heavy rainfall around lunchtime that I think it was number one. Top Jubilee Cottage, very nearly flooded. The silt, you can see, remains in her porch. It's that it came up that much, and I've got a video footage of it. It was absolutely frightening. The amount of water was coming down. I've not been here long, and I've seen it progress. Obviously, of course, with the excess water that's been caused. I'm very grateful for Mr. Whitcomb finally. Obviously, it took quite a few hours with Mr. Collins. I didn't know who to approach at the time because I know of old, when I lived in Donaldson, there's a great conflict of interest with things being on land and highways not wanting to know, and then highways saying, well, it's on land and what have you. So I did attempt to speak with the landowner, but sadly, no response. So as a result, Nick Holton managed to speak to Mr. Whitcomb and he came out with his shovel, and I was thankful.
Well, I actually got in touch with John Whitcomb himself.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Which we're very lucky to have him because he's very useful in these situations.
He is.
I mean,
he's good.
It is always tradition. I mean, I was going to bring it up in highways anyway, but there's always tradition flooding down that road anyway, simply because of the lie of the land. And as we have had exceptional rainfall, I mean, it's just a pleasure trying to keep the road again.
I appreciate that. Because the bays, I've only just recently realised, the bays are actually public. It's not just for high water. But I'm very conscious of the fact that I walk my dog regularly. I'm always kicking mud and debris out of the drains when I walk up Bow Hill. And the drains at Bow Hill are absolutely splendid.
Mm.
And yet there's a drain that's just been unleashed, if you like, from Mr. Whitcomb. And he did say, oh, I didn't know until obviously we'll call. Which makes me think that the Lentzman, I don't know whether the whole parish is involved as part of his remit for clearing drains, or just Bow Hill.
He does the whole parish, but I mean, obviously, in a sense, we have to be aware that these things have blocked up in order to be able to tell him. And I mean, I contact him on a regular basis whenever anything's brought up. There's a couple of issues that have come up in highways tonight, and he is always very prompt and he does a very good job. But we have to be aware of it in order to be able to do something about it, of course.
So now I know who to speak to. As I say, I was just thrashing around, speaking to highways, getting just the... And it was efficient. It is an efficient process. But if the initial email was, yes, we've come out, there is a problem there, but thanks for pointing out. But nothing will happen until next April within the budget, when we've got a new budget. Now, at that point, I thought, come on. And surely enough, then last Monday's rain, and then the weekend's rain, thank goodness something was done. because I'm just thinking, surely to goodness, this parish would not want its neighbours being flooded as a result of some silt that could have been shifted quite readily by the Lens.
Well, I suggest probably if you come across situations like that in the future, you contact me.
Because I then in turn will contact John.
And I mean, obviously, we pay for his services through our precept.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware of what he's doing and that we can actually afford to let him do it.
Yeah.
And so the sensible thing to do is have me as a point of contact and then I can contact him.
Chairman, can I just also point out, the parish lensmen don't exist anymore with South West Highways or Devon County Council or even South Ams. The remit falls down to parish council.
Yes.
They do. I mean, they are supposed to come around if they do.
We do not expect them to come around.
It'd be nice to know if they do come around soon because we've not seen them.
If you talk to Nick Colton, he will tell you that there's a.
The flood group in the village that we still have been told that they don't come unless we let them know.
Yeah, we've got to be proactive.
We've got to be proactive. They don't come automatically.
Which is fine, but with the amount of water and the amount of, rainfall and the surface runoff, ultimately drains are going to get blocked, dirt is going to find its way, silt is going
to
happen.
Can I just emphasise the financial side of this? Because it used to be Devon Highway's job to do it.
Yeah.
Despite what you're saying, so they've virtually stopped doing it.
I've not seen them at all.
Because of that, the parish has tried to pick it up by increasing the precept, which means we have to come to you as parishioners and say we need more money, which we don't like doing, but we have to.
Yeah.
We then employ, in this case, Mr. Whittaker to do the work for us. He has already gone over budget this year.
Right.
Because of the amount, I mean, it's been an excessive year, but we've gone well over budget. In fact, I need to talk to you about that this evening. The parish doesn't have a lot of money to play with. The parish has very little money to play with, but we are doing our best as a parish to try to compensate for the fact that Devon Highways is no longer doing it. Please don't blame Devon Highways either, because they haven't got the money.
I'm not blaming anybody.
Well, if you want to blame anyone, you've got to go much, much higher and ask why the county and the district aren't being financed. They used to be. There's only one answer to that. They're not getting the money from a higher authority.
I know, but I am not a parishioner, a villager, if you like, who will sit back and watch it. I would get out there with the spade myself. But the fact is, the particular issue with the drains are that it was going to be a continual job. The fact is that the source of the problem we needed dealing with, and I didn't realise this until a couple of weeks, and my neighbour was saying, and I took a look. Now, obviously, I couldn't gain access to it, so all I could do was just flag it up. And when I saw all the water and more coming down, and I can't believe that nobody else, this is what astounds me, that nobody else actually saw that water. I can't believe that nobody sees that water coming down.
I must admit, we've never had any complaints of water issues up around there at all. Driving down there tonight, because it's been made aware to us, the stone wall is in front. How does it get in behind the stone wall?
No, it doesn't come with the stone wall. It was actually so high up, I can show you pictures, that it was so coming up so much. There's a little dip from up the neighbour where obviously it goes into their porch, into their gate. And it was so
inside,
it was
the, inside the wall.
It was so no. It was coming down past the wall, but it was the Jubilee cottages have a little run of a little sort of dip in the pavement to go in, and it was actually coming up there into their porch. And you could see the porch is splattered with, because of course then the massive vehicles go on. Mm. It was like a tsunami. I was stood on my porch and it was comical.
I'm neighbours aware of that. The parish council has provided sand at the sandbanks.
No, I went to the garage and asked them.
Well, they're located at the pub.
No, I didn't know
there's
that.
There's a bin in the corner of the car park which we've recently filled up, and there were 100 bags in there last time I did. It's a question of self-flow, I'm afraid, because we're paying for the sand in the bags, but filling them is another game. So if it happens, there's no reason why any parishioner in a dangerous situation like that shouldn't go down to the car park.
Okay, well, I did actually go to the garage. And the garage were telling me that, they had to move their cars,
and
the pub was
there,
and then they were saying that it was coming out of the drain of BT.
Yeah.
So I then actually just went online, spoke to BT, you have to go on like a chat, and I contacted them and said, look, this drain needs looking at.
Yeah.
I rang the garage and said, have you spoken to BT? I said, well, I have, on your behalf. Same with the pub. I said, have you spoken to BT? No, well, I have. So something may or may not happen there. I don't know what I'm saying.
But God forbid if it should happen again and the house looks in danger, for goodness sake.
The bags are there. I mean, ultimately, Aidenwick is on a slope and the water goes to the river and flooding, which, of course, Marigold knows full well, has happened for decades, generations
my life.
And everything
else. But if there are drains, my point is, there are drains there.
Yes.
If the drains are blocked,
they should be cleared and that should be Devon Harvest.
What I'm trying to say is that maintenance, if you can talk about climate change, if there's no maintenance to the very faculties that will allow the water to run away, then we're all responsible for that. And I will get a spade out where I can gain access, I'm not across people's land, I will deal with it. Because I will not allow to see any neighbours flooding for the most ridiculous reason that nobody can be bothered. Clear things
I think
they
can be, I think people can be bothered. It comes down to, as we pointed out, funding costs and trying to. No one else has made anyone aware of that drain.
You're thinking about the parishioners.
No, I'm just saying anyone can just get a spade
indeed.
And clear a drain.
But
and I've done it many times in the previous
parish.
And just so you know, since 2012, when we were very badly flooded along the bottom of every house, we've had a flood group that meet twice a year.
Right.
To start with, we had every single Devon Highways, South Hams, everybody came to those meetings.
Everyone.
Residents, everybody came. And now it's about four or five of us. Apathy.
Right,
but we are the ones that instigated getting sandbags and so on. So there is this group that comes out of this, really. So it is there.
Right, lovely. Okay.
We'll be meeting in March, actually. We've got a meeting in a few weeks' time. I'll bring your
evening,
up
man.
As well.
Thank you.
Is that a group that anyone can attend, or is it by invitation?
Yes. Well, I need to know.
Would it be
coming.
Worth us issuing, publicising that the next group event?
Yeah,
or?
I would like to know.
I'm sure.
The sort of numbers, because I've actually got another event on the next day.
But I mean, if we said that people should contact you and ask to attend, for example, would that be?
Yes, if they're interested parties. I don't want the world and his wife coming just because they want to come to Blackpool.
Of course not.
Well, it happens. It does happen.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
right,
anything?
Thank you very much for listening. And I will, if I can, see Mr. Goodman personally. Thank you as well for doing such a good job. Thank you.
Chair, just out of interest, how much is he charging? How much is John charging?
There is one other item which relates to Mr. Brisbane, which I will bring up in highway. Anything else in open forum? Okay.
There's an item which is not on the agenda relating to North Hewish and the defibrillator.
That was deliberately left off.
Is that something we need to attend? We need to attend to at some stage.
It could come under correspondence so that it could be an entry.
I was going to say, but I don't know that fine.
Okay. So, apologies for absence. Presumably not. Declarations of interest, as per normal, I think. Could we agree the minutes of the meeting, which I didn't attend? Well, the 4th of February are true and
Get too hot.
No, cool. I should take it off.
I might take it off. I'm getting too hot too, just for a change. I'm right there. It's fine. Just get it out. Okay. Oh, God. That's it.
Matters arising therefrom.
We have had correspondence from Council coming concerning the community then. She says
concerning what, sorry?
Community home which was assumed to be empty, but he says is occupied.
Well,
there must be a ghost, Chairman.
The same lights are on in that house that's been on there since Christmas. And I never see anybody going in and out whatsoever.
And would you like a response sent to the panel?
Well, I'd be interested to know who the tenant is, because I would have thought it was the Edmund ghost.
Has anyone checked there is no one lying dead in it?
Who's
supposed to? Somebody from the housing association.
Yeah.
We
it would be nice.
They checked it.
So like
somebody else to complain.
We have a response from the housing association,
like
actually.
Which housing association is it?
The West.
Yeah.
Which has more old perhaps you could look into it for a bit as well.
I mean, I'll follow that up any way you like, but please let me know what you would like.
I'll tell you. That's right. We'll
I think everything else has come up underneath.
I could invite District Councillor Sloan to give his report.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll start with the good news of the increases in your council tax. I have the full list here. You can see the if you want to see where it's all going. I'll start with South Hams. South Hams is, as per several years recently, is increasing by £5, which is the maximum that we're allowed to do it, so that's an increase of 3%. So that rises from £165 to £170. I must admit, looking through these figures, I was slightly surprised to discover that actually the budget or the precept for the Police and Crime Commissioner is considerably higher than that. That's £221 this year. So, there we are. We were at South Brent Parish Council last Monday night, and I was explaining these figures. So there, I mean, as I suspect, it's quite rare to see a representative of the police turn up and give a report. South Brent in particular, considering in themselves a slightly larger community, you know, thing. So my comment was, well, you know, we both councillor panel and myself were there. I said, well, we're currently cheaper than the police. You know, South Hams is cheaper than the police, etc. And I mean, you do get at South Front, they got two of us for the price of one. And though we might not be any good, at least we do turn up. So there we are. Your Devon County Council one, that has risen by £27. So obviously that's the highest figure. That's 1,300. And then the Devon Fire Service, that's gone up by 2%. And quite interestingly, the average for parishes and towns is rising by 10%. So the parish councils across the South Hams district are putting up their precepts by an increase of 10%.
That's an average. I remember the top standards.
They did.
But you can probably guess why. They're doing the work of the district council.
Well, that's yes. But then, of course, you see, you know, towns and parishes are not capped.
No,
so, you know,
it's a crazy.
It is. I'm afraid it is, but it's the way things have been for probably as long as I've been a councillor. So, you know, so your total for a Band D property, your total council tax is.
How much is the parish one?
So this one?
No, that's a general one.
I'm sure I can.
No,
I don't need to this one.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not.
Not the 182 pounds.
No. So for a band deed property, you're effectively talking of a council tax of a fraction under £2,000. £1,990. So you're probably asking, you know, what's South Hams going to be spending all its money on? Of course, I was relying upon my computer to give me the. I have the information on there because I can't connect to the internet, so that's somewhat scuffling. Anyway, the
give them a questionnaire.
Yeah, some of the headline issues. You may well have seen. I think it was widely reported in the press that they've earmarked £400,000 for. Climate change issues. There's a bit of a question mark as to how that money will be spent.
Well, where it's come from?
Well, it's sort of come from reserve. And sort of some of it was sort of new homes bonus money, I think. Yeah. So, quite people like myself who are representing, you know, rural wards are very keen to make sure that that money is spent across the district and is not. Earmarked for towns like Totnes, etc., whose when that it was quite noticeable that when that decision was passed, they were all high-fiving one another, etc. So they probably got umpteen oven-ready projects, you know, ready to. So anyway, we will endeavour to make sure that everybody gets a fair share of that.
How do they actually do that? Do they proportion it out, or
as I say, there's £400.
I'm not asking the money,
no,
just roughly how they do
it. Yeah, it hasn't actually been fully decided, but I think they're talking about a quarter of it, 100,000 of that, will be available for you know, for projects. So it will, for projects for parishes and towns to bid for.
And then 300,000 for Totnes.
No, the rest of it will be spent.
To cynic.
Yeah. We're not going to sit still and watch that happen. No, the rest
again.
Of it. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be done, but that will be for measures, you know, to benefit the whole of the district. Well, theoretically, you know, anything that happens will effectively be benefiting the district. Some of it's possibly more targeted than others. I mean, for example, you've possibly seen it, I'm not sure, but obviously South Brent are having a climate fair, which I think all surrounding parishes are invited to. Date would be in April. They are actually, they're running a... Bob the bus. They're running a shuttle bus actually from Rattray. So I'm sure you could probably do one from here should you wish.
Surely councillor Smirn would be better off if they got the wind turbine going.
That one is broken and it's awaiting a part. They can't get the part because the wind turbine is a refurbished model and they're no longer, so they are waiting to the latest I understood they were hoping to get somebody to make the part for them, but it's been out of action probably getting like 4 or 5 months now, I imagine, which is a considerable bit. The couple of additional officer posts.
Do we have a climate control officer that's being paid out as £400,000?
No, they're going to be on top of that. They will be out. The climate officer is a properly funded post, which is not out of the £400,000, but will be additional on top of that. So, and there will also be a town centre, town centre's sort of officer involved in town centre regeneration and you know, liaising with business and that type of thing. So
that's the two new posts, is it?
That would be, yes.
Okay.
Well, you see, the planning, which is in the past has suffered from sort of being, as councillor Stevie now, suffered from being under, I'm not going to say underfunded, but certainly under-resourced. That is now, that is currently fully resourced, and they are taking, because it is difficult to find, and it has been for a long time, difficult to find and recruit new planning officers, they are training people up from within the organisation who want to go, who want to become planners. There is a town planning course run by Plymouth University, and they are putting officers in it so that they can become members of the town MRTPL, Town Planning Institute. So, and they're also sharing an apprentice with between Southampton's Teambridge and Dartmoor National Park. This guy is spending 4 months with each authority. So,
the apprentice?
He's an apprentice, planner to become a. To become a.
Pick who he wants to work with.
He has to move around. He's got to spend 4 months with each one. He's getting,
and at the end, you're fired.
Yes. The question was asked: who gets to keep it?
Don't they get a choice?
I don't think they. I'm not sure that they've actually sorted that out yet. Yes, it's all. There was a budget gap of about £500,000, which was which they were able to close by judicious use of new homes bonus, because there have been a considerable amount of houses that have been built. We're still in receipt of new homes bonus. There was some question as to whether that would continue, but it is continuing for a time.
Councillor, is that any of that new homes bonus being spent back onto these communities which have had all these new homes built within them? Whether it be play parks, facilities, other putting it back into social housing?
In a lot of cases, for example, Ivybridge, where there has been a considerable amount of building, then things like play parks and that would probably funded as part of a section 106 agreement. But they are planning. Yes, there are plans to refurbish a lot of play parks across Southampton.
And would Southampton look at maybe Sill?
That is something which is being considered, but it tends to work, and it has been for a long time. But it's something that works a lot easier in an urban environment than it does in a rural one. Which is because Plymouth, you'll find that Plymouth City Council, they use. SIL, which is community infrastructure levy, rather than a section 106 zone.
Altogether, both.
Yeah. I'm not sure you can use both. But anyway, Plymouth uses it. So because that way every development makes a contribution towards infrastructure based on the size of houses and the amount of houses and everything like that. Whereas if you do it, as if you do it through a 106, it's all up for grabs. There's a lot of horse trading goes on.
That money in a SIL does actually get allocated to that community in that pot and has to be spent on that, whether it's.
I'm not sure
schools.
All of it does. 25% is earmarked for the community.
Well, that's 25% more than we got out of our section 106.
Exactly.
Well, I thought you'd got a
play. We got nothing. Over the 106, but we never got any money when we asked them for some new homes.
It was, the play part had nothing to do with the
106.
And 106.
No, it wasn't.
Was that? I thought it was 106.
No.
Oh, it was because it was donated kindly by a landowner, wasn't it?
Right.
Thank you very much.
So, hang on, I'm finished yet.
He's got a signal.
There's more. I'm now going to just give you a heads up. No, I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to give you a heads up on the changes that are coming to the waste collection, which is going to be happening in September.
Once a month.
So you will. I think I sent an email around to all the clerks to saying that members of our staff are available. To come to
to come up under correspondence
annual meetings and things like that to talk about this, and they're going to be running sort of road shows. They'll have the a stand that they'll come to your
climate fair
garden chapter. They will be at the climate fair, I can assure you.
Wonderful.
They're already booked in. So the main changes that you're going to see, obviously the bag system will go. That is a big downside, because nobody wants to buy our recycling, because it's all in plastic bags. You've got to split all the bags to get the stuff out. You've got to split the bags open. So it's virtually got to the point that we are having to pay people. It hasn't happened yet, but it's touch and go whether we get to the point we have to pay people to take stuff away. So anyway, so these changes will come in. You'll get your recycling will be picked up every week. You'll still get keep the brown bin and the grey bin, and they will be picked up alternate weeks in the same way as they are now. And you put all your your grey bin waste, your unrecyclable stuff, that goes in there just the same. The brown bin, they want you to keep that you'll be given. Well, some people have got them already, these little food caddies. So they want you to put food waste, unless you're a farmer or a landowner, or you've got some chickens, or you feed it all to them. They want you to put the food waste into the little caddy, and that will I'm not sure whether that's a weekly collection or a fortnightly. Not sure, but that means that the food waste will come out of the brown bin waste, and that means we can then compost that closer to home. The problem is at present we've got food waste in the brown bin. In order to kill the pathogens in the food, possibly in the food waste, it's got to be composted under a specialist procedure. Temperature's got to get up to 78 degrees to kill any of the bugs that are in it. And you can't do that. You can make compost, on a pad outside, with a turn it over a tractor a few times. But the trouble is you don't kill them. The pathogens. So the aim is to get the food waste out of it. That will go to Langage to the biodigester, and the brown bin waste will be composted more locally. At some stage in the future, there will be a charge for the brown bin waste. We're currently the only district in the county that doesn't charge for that, and that will come at some stage, but it's not going to come on top of a complete chain. It's too much of a thing, too much to introduce all of them. So with regard to the recycling, you'll have a couple of green boxes which will have lids, but the chances are that the lids will blow away, but so one box will have the whole paper, newspapers, magazines, books, and also glass bottles and jars and cartons. Now my take on it is that if people are going to, having seen the amount of bottles, that people put in bottle bags, that they're going to, you're going to fill your box with bottles, and not have any room for them. So my advice would be, the bottle banks are still going to work, be out there, so keep putting the bottles in, and just use these for paper. But whatever. And then there's another one, another green box, which is for cardboard and... Well, mainly, pretty much for cardboard. And then you've also got you will have a reusable white sack, which looks a bit like a shrunken fertiliser, dumpy, or dumpy feed bag, something like that. And into that will go all the food tins, drink cans, etc., foil, plastic bottles, etc., etc. It does say here, no black plastics.
Where am I going to put it all?
Exactly. I was thinking, what about people that are immediately on the street? How on earth are they going to put all those boxes and bins?
They do it everywhere else. We're virtually the only authority. Yeah.
Area of outstanding natural beauty.
Yeah.
Look at it.
The vehicle's changing.
Yes.
So will it just be one set of dustbin men come round and do everything at once rather than coming round and wasting petrol by coming round again later on in the morning?
Yes. I mean, because the bulk of it will go into one vehicle.
Is this system just, I don't know if anyone noticed, very similar to the Teambridge system?
It is.
So there's going to be a lorry which has it.
No. That's a demonstration vehicle which is painted up in all sorts of garish colours.
Yeah, I know, but it's still the process that you have five
yes.
men emptying and sorting it as they go along
yes.
the street,
yep.
and
yep.
you get stuck behind them and
well,
you're
we have
there
to,
for hours.
We've got to go. You've got to align with everybody else. It's going to be, it's this Devon.
Do you know, in New Zealand, they have a single lorry with a driver.
One box.
Comes out, picks up the bin,
yeah.
puts it in the lorry, and they sort it out back at the base.
And
there's
just
far
one box for all
yeah,
recycling.
Far better way
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
But it works.
But how
yeah,
are they
yeah,
going
yeah.
to get those up narrow lanes? That looks a pretty long lorry to me.
I don't know.
It's not so much getting them up the lanes, it's having the working space either side of it to be able to put the stuff
yeah,
in the lorry.
Exactly.
I don't know. These things work in other areas because West Devon, you know, which is our, let's say, sister authority, but, you know, that we work in conjunction with. They've been.
Has no one thought of sorting at the base where people will sort it? You're relying on the public to sort it. Well, and that's the big thing.
But they used to do that, didn't they? The original South Ham scheme was sorting everything from
the
green bin.
There was
a far better way of doing it.
There was a certain amount of stuff done at Tor Quarry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I mean, if you invite somebody like Jane Savage, who's you know, senior.
But asking the public to do your work for you is going to fail.
You can put these. Questions directly.
Well, I'm putting it to my councillor. I hope she'll take it back.
Yeah, well, your councillor is has been. You know, this is the system. We rely upon the officers to come up. You know, to do. I mean, and I have. Well, FCC.
Yeah. Why have we still got officers that are dealing with that?
The bulk of them
part of the reason we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. But how
much money are we saving in doing this?
I would suggest that you invite Jane Savage, who is senior officer dealing with this, very knowledgeable lady who will be able to answer all your questions. And
in that case, I think we should make that impression.
Yeah.
Annual parish meeting would be best happening. The annual parish meeting would be best
happening. What at the AGM?
Annual parish meeting.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah, communications. So there'll be roadshows, community talks, press releases, whatever. So this is really just to give you.
When's this starting? Do we have a date?
September.
End of September.
At
sorry,
the
that,
moment.
That'll
at
be
the
2021.
Moment.
Okay.
I mean, the lorries are all ordered. Everything.
So,
but
then
charge of new lorries, so they
yeah.
must cost quite
and
a bit.
And they're not ours, are they? They're not South
yes,
Hams,
are they?
Yes,
they are South Hams.
Oh,
we provide the vehicles, but
so you have to save millions of this
they provide
order.
The labour and the driving.
They, yeah,
the
and,
motor,
and they, you know, they provide the logistics and run them and you know etc. like that.
Mm.
I don't. It's all, yeah. It's all been costed and it's you know this has been going on for. Years, isn't it, Robert?
Yes.
And this is the final, it's finally coming to fruition. So,
Councillor Smerton, I'm very sorry about this. I'm getting a little low on battery.
Right,
on the recording.
That's fine.
I wonder.
Okay. Well, I will give you your. Seeing as you've got a council tax increase, I want to give you your money's worth, so I will... anyway, just that is a heads up to let you know, what is likely to be happening, and you will hear plenty of this as the summer goes on.
Thank you. Okay. Planning.
Right, there's one piece of planning to consider, that's for a hobby craft room at Rushford. You should have had the information sent on to you some little while ago now. I do have some of the stuff here on this computer, if you want to look at it, but, I've not. We've got to open up individual documents.
We've all looked at it.
You've seen it. It's, as far as I can establish, an edition which is doing its best to stay within the present setup that's there. It's just a
fairly
small edition.
Chairman, I propose to support it.
I'll
second it. Yeah.
I was asked by permission while we both did to look at planning.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, why are we wasting time doing it? Because nobody listens to what we say.
Well, that's true.
This was not something I could actually respond to.
No.
I felt I had some sympathy with the permission.
Right. Which anything in particular that
you've done? Well, virtually everything we've seen is right, I think.
Okay.
And last year.
Well, everything we object to goes through on the nod, so it didn't really seem much point was looking at.
Yeah. One of the things we need to mention tonight is the Coombe House planning has gone through.
Yes.
I rest my case.
Yeah, well, okay. Councillor Pannell did say that you had raised this within. Presumably the last meeting. Well, I mean, it's not a case that it goes through on the nod. Guy went. He went and took pictures of it.
He went there.
I mean, you know, we discuss it with the planning officer. You know, it's not just a case of, you know, we just look at it and shrug our shoulders and just let it go. So, I mean, you may not think so, but I mean, we have got a degree of experience when it comes to these type of things, and you can tell, and I'm sure Robert would bear this out, you can tell, you know, which applications are planning, if it were put before a committee, you can tell which ones they would approve. And I mean, if the officer is recommending approval, then they're, you know.
Depends who the officer is.
Chairman, I will say that we started off the year, or I should say, our ward members started off the year quite poorly with planning in our area and not listening
in
to
your,
us.
In your opinion?
In our opinion, and in our parishioners' opinion, and we are there to represent them. I will say that at a recent planning application, which you did go to on a site visit up at North Hewish, it did go through all processes, and it was... was found at the end, it went to committee and it was quite democratic at the end of it, and it got passed. And with regards to Coombe, at the end of the day it was a retrospective application, and the planning officer has to see it as a new planning application, and it has to be looked at as such, and with no recompense to what has happened previously. That is the planning rules and the planning laws. All I ask, and all we ask, I think, is that our ward members do take time and effort into looking at these, meeting us at these places, turning up with their cattle boxes so that people can get in under the cover, and at
probably
least listen and do what they do. And I will say that they have got better at that from where we started at the beginning of the year. So that is all.
With respect to that particular
say.
Meeting, the old adage is there's no such thing as bad weather, just inappropriate clothing.
Yeah, very much inappropriate clothing. I would recommend that members of South Ann Civic Council Planning Committee might want to invest in a proper pair of wellies and a jacket and a hat, maybe. But there you go.
Okay. So, as far as Rushford is concerned, we're supporting that. Okay. Correspondence.
Right, you have had a lot of it. This is information, most of it's just that. One or two things perhaps we ought to look at more deeply. They want a response to that, which to me is like whether or not you want to send a response to them.
It's from the communication team. Climate change feedback required. Dear Clarks, we declared a climate change and biodiversity emergency and initially set two aims. One, to reduce our organisational carbon emissions to net zero by 2030. 2, to commit to working with partners to endeavour climate emergency response group with aim to reduce the District of Southam's carbon emissions to net zero by 2050 at the latest. In working towards these ends, we've produced 2 plans that set out a range of actions that could be taken. We must stress that at this stage the plans are live, working documents. We show a collection of proposals created by council officers and councillors. We propose an analysis of the overall cost and benefits will then be carried out before the site wants to go ahead, wait or reject each of the proposals. At this stage, broad time frames are indicative. You will find attached above the 2 plans, operational carbon reduction plan for reducing our footprint, and then the Southampton Climate Change and Biodiversity Action Plan. Going on to say, we would appreciate your council's views on the above and any additional actions that we or our partners could consider as we move forward. Please email any feedback to climatechange@southwestdevon.gov.uk by the 31st of March. If you'd like to find out more about our climate change and biodiversity emergency, please visit our website and this is an address. Whether we respond in any way, shape, or form.
There were a couple of attachments which would have come out to you when this letter came out to you. It's a question of whether there's any response to it.
Chairman, I only ask, we do not have as a parish council any policy on this. Are we looking to support the climate emergency remit that Southampton have got?
I've seen a couple of months back we did pass a climate emergency.
One thing that I forgot to mention and should have been at the top of my list, well, it was at the top of my list because I've written it, was the coronavirus. Obviously, there have been a couple of cases,
Churston Grammar School. Yeah.
And, you know, it was a couple of the primary schools within Southampton, Barry Pomeroy, within our close.
Mm.
Just as there is a government website, which I think is something like coronavirus.gov, easy enough to find, that the information on that is updated daily at 2 p.m. So if people want to avail themselves of information, that's probably the best way of
just join in and mass media generated hysteria.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
that would probably be true, but we've got a public health briefing on Thursday afternoon.
Well, I hope it's by video link rather than everybody in one room.
Okay, so I think perhaps as far as this climate change thing is concerned, we probably don't need to do more.
Can
individual councillors give feedback if they wish to do that?
How much back to you, Doss?
Yeah,
we're
going
to the
This is also to do with correspondence and relates to the changes in Shut Up over there and relates to the changes in waste disposal. And I think we suggested that we invite James Savage along. Do I have proposals and seconds?
Thank
you.
Right, the third letter come under 2 different headings. Some people will deal with it now, seeing Councillor Huskins just arrived, because I'm feeling this might be in response to a letter I sent him. You remember we had the new panel information panel. That's called
Panel.
No, I gave you the wrong information in terms of the cash for that, and I'm really, really very sorry, I made a mistake. I understood that we had to put in our claim for payment of that. We were given a grant, you remember, in the year Investing in Devon grant, which should cover that. I understood, for whatever reason, that we had to put in a request for that by the end of, or by December 19. In fact, I got the date totally wrong. I wrote to Captain Hoskins to see if he could delay our application and then allow us to apply at a later date. I've just We've had both email and letter from the Investing 11 team telling us that, in fact, the closing date is December 2020, not 2019.
Oh.
So that money is safe.
Good.
And I will get the letter off this week.
Mm.
This has just arrived, but I imagine you must have done a bit of investigating for us, did you, Peter? So thank you.
Just a little.
Yes. Well, thanks for that support.
No problem.
It's appreciated.
Good. We have had one item as well, British Telecom.
Oh, yes, that's come round to you, hopefully.
Have confirmed that they would need written confirmation of permission to adopt the kiosk from a landowner in order to proceed with an adoption of the kiosk in North Yorkshire.
Well, I read it slightly differently. I read they weren't going ahead with it because the land was owned by some third party.
They say that they cannot proceed.
Yeah.
They have cancelled the current application for adoption, but they will reopen that if people should provide a written permission from the landowners to adopt the kiosk.
And what was the...
Has that email been circulated to all of us?
Don't know.
It's a very recent one. I'm not sure whether it has.
I think I got it yesterday, but I don't know. It probably has, but very recent.
Yeah.
Where did we stand on that? Were we just kind of...
Before... When Jonathan Ingram passed, it was, they were happy to do it as long as we paid all their costs.
I think
the solicitor's costs, any interview stakes costs, whatever.
I think our stance was to try and adopt the kiosk just ad hoc, didn't it?
Mm.
But clearly this requires a more formal...
Do you not think that, Chairman, we should write a letter from the parish council directly to the owners and say, this is the scenario, we'd like to adopt it, at no cost to yourselves... and at no legal undertakings from yours, and you'll forever never be responsible, and it'll always be the parish council's responsibility, etc., etc.
Well, if we don't do something,
and then if they want to then go to their agent and put it to them, and we have to discuss with the agent thereafter, that's fine. Or we send a letter to both landlord and agent.
You wouldn't know who we need to send to.
Tim John,
could you email details to me?
Because basically BTSA, they would be perfectly happy to reopen an adoption on it, but they need, and I quote, blah, 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 written consent from the landowner.
So that's all we need.
Well, we need that permission, don't we? Because
otherwise,
I mean, we can't afford to spend the parish's money on all the legal paraphernalia around that. But if we can have a carte blanche just to proceed, I think we've got to do it, otherwise we can't proceed at all.
Yeah.
I think, can we have a proposal for that?
Get me the address and the name.
Both.
Landlord
and agent. Send that to both of them.
Please, yeah. And then I'll send that to both of them. Would you like a letter from you or from me?
Probably from me, I think.
Right, well, I'll get it ready for you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Probably at this point, I could invite County Councillor Hosking to give us his report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Two items principally this evening. The first is the budget. I don't think I've reported the budget to you as yet this year, but if I can't stop me. We have an increase in budget at Devon County Council from 498 million to 41 million, so quite a significant increase for the first time in many years. The majority of that is statutory services on adult social care and children's social care, which is 10% and 8.5%, but there is a 5% increase in highway expenditure, which you'd be pleased to hear, which means that hopefully we'll be able to spend a bit more on the highways, although the way things are going in the last month,
yes.
I think we'll probably need it all just to cope with. Just to keep up, absolutely. The two sort of items that I wanted to pick out from that are firstly, the budget now having been agreed, I can confirm that the Devon County Council precept on council tax this year will be for a land deed property £1,439.46. So it's a 4% increase, 3.99% increase, the maximum amount of which are out going to the referendum.
think.
Okay, that came from my opposite book.
I thought that came from
my
little book.
We need to see if counting difficulties between the districts as well. Thereabouts. I mean, the second item is that we have been instructed by government to hold on our balance sheet an overspend of $21 million on the education budget for children with special education needs and disabilities.
I haven't added in the adult social care precept.
Oh, actually, we are in agreement, I think.
So I think that will put it on. Sorry.
Well,
yeah, to the penny.
Yeah, right.
Perfect.
Good. Well,
good.
So the second thing was you had to hold money, did you say?
Yes, we've had to hold it on our balance sheet, $21 million this year. There is an anticipated similar overspend coming this year, and we will receive instructions from central government as to how we shall deal with that in future years, but we are not at this moment in time allowed to use our ordinary budget to actually pay that sum, which is a slightly worrying position, but hopefully it might mean that we will provide the additional funds to actually pay. That's what we're hoping. The second item is just to report briefly on the Devon Carbon Plan. There has been quite a bit of activity in that respect. We have joined with a number of partners and established all sorts of committees. There's a net zero task force which includes 14 specialists led by the wonderfully named Patrick Divine Wright
from the University of Exeter. We
will be producing a Devon Carbon Plan, or the partners will be producing a Devon Carbon Plan by the autumn of 2020. It will have been through several stages, including a citizens' assembly, which will be 100 people selected from throughout Devon to represent the interests of the community at an assembly where they will discuss the draft, and it will then go to public consultation. So I'll just run through the groups. There's a climate impacts group which is being established. There will be a Devon adaptation plan. There will be a response group, and there will be a tactical group with representatives from the 28 project partners that we have to produce a Devon Carbon Plan. So I will try and circulate, once I have permission to do so, an update and all the details of who you need to contact if you wish to know any more about the Carbon Plan. And the final thing I had on my list this evening was just simply to say that I still do have a little Invest in Devon funding and another 12 months worth of locality funding for projects throughout the division. So if you have any, I'm still trying to allocate it roughly on based on population, so from your point of view I'm afraid that's it's not very huge percentage. But there is some funding there if you have some projects. And,
could it be a project to particularly clear some sides of roads that are problematic, you know, that are causing flooding? Would that be a project?
We're not supposed to spend it on things which we're supposed to do as part of our duties, I'm afraid. It seems a little bit incongruous, but that is the instruction we've been given. But if you could divert another budget to, from something which I can help you with, to do some roadworks yourselves, then that is absolutely fine.
There is one possible project that I might bring up in a minute on highways, which that might be relevant to. I mean, shall I bring it up now?
Yeah, please do. I'll finish my list.
John Wisdom approached me some weeks back, apparently on the road to Ditford, just before Bennett Knoll. There's a culvert which is collapsing somewhere down by the river there, which, according to him, if it's left, the road edge will collapse. His take on it was that if it's left for highways to do, the first thing they'll do is shut the road for ages. And he was prepared to undertake, I don't know whether it was remedial work or shoring it up or whatever it was. I actually sort of went out with my agreement a bit and said, well, I thought that thing sounded like a pretty good idea, but unfortunately at the time I didn't ask him how much it was going to cost. I've since rectified this, and he wouldn't do it until sort of April, May time, when it was a bit drier.
and he reckoned there was 2 or 3 days of work in it, so he reckoned it was going to be 200 or 300 quid. Well, maybe he said it, maybe he's trying to anchor for the job, but I mean, I just wonder whether it is a singular project as opposed to potholes and things, whether that might be a separate project which we didn't have to then pay for, because I gathered we're going to get,
can't afford to pay,
we're over budget anyway, so you know, whether that might qualify
in terms of locality.
Yeah.
Or a little
bit that's
if
left.
This is the culvert. If you go over the bridge heading towards Totnes, turn right, it's about half a mile along the road,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big dip in the road
mm-hmm.
where we've got signs currently.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been on my radar now for probably 9 months, and we believe it's probably a culvert that's used by South West Water,
yeah.
Although I think they're probably claiming their knowledge at this moment in time. And we are on
pass
the case.
It on to the
so that work is in hand?
Well,
technically it's in hand.
Further down
is
the line.
Is it not where the water front line went across the road?
Who wants to do it?
I'm sure it
is.
I'm sure it is.
It's a
culvert.
It's where the water point went across the middle of that road.
Well, I understand from Mr. Whitcomb the culvert is in fact collapsing in on itself, and he feels the road itself
the bit of culvert he's talking about, but where the hump in the road, because it's lethal on a tractor, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably is as well.
I imagine that's not the same one.
But he's walked into this culvert.
No, it's not that big.
He's gone into the culvert because he's seen the actual wall collapsing on itself, he says.
You can't access it from the road, it's private land, but there is certainly in the little copse on the river side of the road. We found some signs from South West Water saying keep out or whatever. And there were signs that South West Water stopped using because they've changed the way they operate from
five or six years ago. They've been in that copse for absolutely years.
They're quite dated, you're right. And in the process of looking at those signs, we noticed that there is actually a brick-built culvert which goes underneath the road, or appears to. So there is a formal structure there of some sort, and we think it's collapsing.
Yeah.
It must be the same one.
It ought to be highways, really.
Yeah.
So when you say you've looked for that, you and Nick Colson and Colton and a few others have been out there.
Yeah, we've put signs up.
Right.
A few others.
I'll call off the dog.
Yeah, yes, I think you've got to hold back for a minute. And who? What parish? Is that our parish? Yes.
It
is. I'm just thinking.
Or Till Brushford,
it goes straight through Bellingham, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Through the kitchen.
So,
that
case...
It's like going to Horsebrook.
Backtrack to finance.
Right, finance is fairly straightforward. We started the month with £7,590 and 51 pence. We've had an income of 33. Two expenditures, one on the display board, which we will get back then.
Mm-hmm.
That was for £76.93. And one to Mr. Whitcomb for £348 for work he's carried out around the parish. So our balance at the moment is £7,165.91. Now I have spoken to Mr. Whitcomb and told him that he must correspond with our chairman if he wants to do work, because he has definitely gone over budget this year. I don't think we can blame him for that in the sense that this has been particular, but also I would suggest that it's not that critical because the cutting of the grass budget is under budget this year, so they'll possibly balance each other out. So from a whole budget viewpoint, it's not too serious.
But presumably we need to formally, if we're going to shift one...
Left. Slide to the left.
You can check out any time you like, you can never...
Can I get, let him out?
He's an educated man.
Some people get stuck in here forever.
So, if you want to transfer funds from grass cutting and maintenance to road maintenance,
do we need to form a proposed second then?
Well, we've established a budget, but the budget isn't written in stone, so I'm not aware. It's a forecast budget,
mm-hmm.
and one that we'd like to stick to, but we do know. We could use money from our reserves and just go on with our salaries against the buildings and covers, which might be the most sensible way of doing it.
I mean, I think it's certainly something that we need to spend money on.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that seems to me ongoing and necessary.
Yeah.
And it was one of the reasons we raised the precept last time.
Exactly.
And there are one
yes.
or two things, because it's my couple of months for the play area, that seem to go on and on. Like the gate.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to spend money on it.
We don't have to. But
sorry, to pick up on that, I wondered if that should have come out of the locality fund, which Councillor Hoskin was talking about. Maybe we looking at the play part, updating the gate entrance.
And the swing that has been bitten by the dog.
Yes. And the dog get over there.
Don't know, because dogs were in there at one time, I suppose, but there's definitely a bite on the swing.
It could have been a child.
I don't think a human could do it.
Could I come in on that? A little bit of my sense that we have a place park that we put in there and that we look after and run. If you read the recent correspondence from South Hams, they're putting a load of money into play parks around South Hams, but we don't ever seem to be in on this.
Hmm.
Possibly because. They don't know we're here.
Well, they probably do, but a lot of the money is being spent in play parks.
In Totnes?
Well, no, not just Totnes. It's been spent
in South Bridge.
Yeah, it's been spent in the towns.
It's been spent in larger,
yeah,
in larger
but
towns.
I think it's time they realise that.
This isn't much money.
But then
no,
it is.
Please,
yes,
please
but,
doing
the,
it
but then
it's
your. Hang on, who owns the play
park? We do.
Because South Hams refused to take it on.
I don't. But it's a question of, yeah, I mean, they're not going to, I mean, like, for example, Rattray's one, we lease off Darlington Trust for a pound a year, but I mean, we put in all the equipment, so we're responsible for, if their equipment falls over, we're responsible. We wouldn't expect St. Hams to come and ask us if we wanted.
But to come back to the origin of this playground, we were told by South Hams that they were providing, through the development of Highball, they were providing us with the playground, which we had to take responsibility for. They would not take on responsibility, although they arranged it all. Now, it was a weird thing at the time, and I think we've been kicked in the pants all the way down the road over this playground ever since it first went in there. And I'm not happy with South Hams.
Okay, so you didn't have any say on what equipment went in there?
We had to.
We had the
money. We did in the end. We consulted with South Hams over the equipment, but we worked on their advice. And the whole thing seems to me that if you live in a town, you get everything in the South Hams. If you live in a village, you get nothing.
Well, sure, hang on. So before we get too much into that chip on our shoulder and add salt and vinegar to
it's
it,
a big
surely the question is how much money needs to be spent on the paper?
Yeah.
Well,
I
think we've got two separate issues, haven't we? We've got the issue of relocation of funds for...
Mm-hmm.
From Glasgow. So, I mean, I think we probably agree on that.
Well,
yeah.
Chairman, I'll propose that we reallocate the funds from the grass cutting into the.
Secondly, if we want to get some money from anywhere, really, a county fund or whatever, I suggest the thing to do would be to big up what needs to be done in the play park, because we can't be tinkering about with locks and gates and things.
No.
We need to put forward. Proposal. The whole thing needs to be maintained, renovated, modernised, whatever.
Safety, whatever.
So that we've got a sensible sum of money that we can ask for.
I was going to say, I thought it was pretty boring.
Well,
it's getting on now, but the point I'm making is if we ask for 50 quid, we aren't going to get it. If we ask for 500 quid, we might have half a chance of getting something. So we've got to make our case that as we are responsible for maintaining this thing, this is again a project which would appear to tick the boxes, a horrible expression, so maybe we should be looking for this locality money.
Yeah, because also the grass needs
to be where. Doesn't matter where we get the money from,
yeah.
frankly,
no,
as long
no,
as
no,
we're not
all.
Paying for
yeah.
it.
I mean, I've got another month. I've got this March to do, so finish this, and then we could have a look and see what all
go,
the comments
if you,
are.
If you can go
yeah.
around Marigold and vandalise the place.
I've been there, done that.
She's done it already.
Yeah, I've been on the switch.
Does that seem sensible?
Well, presumably what we need to do is come up with a menu of things that might need to be done.
Yes.
So we can come up with a package of either minimum maintenance or improvement.
Are there current? Yes.
Give
me
back.
Yeah.
Give
me back.
Bring up another thing that concerned me. I mean, you know, I know the parish councils are doing a check on a monthly basis, and that is sufficient for me. I'm sure of it.
Yes.
Why are you doing it?
Yes.
My concern is that maybe that power ought to be inspected once a year by a professional.
Well, to be honest, I think as many things as need to be done or could need to be done need to be trotted in. If we need professional guidance as to whether our checks are adequate, they're not just simply in terms of the interest, as you say, but in terms of health and safety, and all you've got to do is say children at risk and you get money from somewhere, because that's how the world works these days.
Well, who actually insures it?
I think a company that's insured, does our general insurance. We have insurance for the parish.
Right, it used to be at, well... Okay,
it's one of the big companies. So.
Yeah, but then they
no.
would, as part of that insurance,
the HIV.
Okay, as part of that insurance, they will surely want you or want the play park to be inspected. Will they?
It is inspected.
They're quite happy.
I've got the
thing us here. Inspected ourselves.
They want it regularly inspected by us.
Really?
They
this is
they
the inspection.
For an outside
this is
authority.
What we do. And we go through a list of things that need doing.
It used to be supposedly inspected by Southampton, but we never ever heard anything from Southampton.
But we at
so
the moment are always
no.
adding something,
yeah.
and I don't know when who picks it up eventually.
Yes,
you
well,
know,
the,
there are little bits and pieces.
Well, it's
pieces.
Kind of our responsibility, isn't it?
Okay.
I think.
But do you not have it? Is it not checked once a year by a.
No.
It wasn't checked
okay.
by Southampton either,
no.
was it?
No,
well,
Southampton weren't doing
well.
It.
Well,
that's,
I'm not. I think,
that's why
I
we
think,
picked it up.
I think
yeah.
they
we
actually
doing
were,
it.
But the problem was that they got the wrong email address or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
They
were
no
way.
No.
That was their excuse.
We just went.
Well,
we had
well,
no.
We've,
we had no
we've
written
been
evidence
down this
at all.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
They
that.
Had the right email address. In fact, they had two email addresses, and they didn't use either of them.
Well, what I might suggest that we propose that. Remedial work needs to be done on the play park. We can come up with a menu or something, and then see if we can get some.
Well, we need a list of things that need to be done.
We need a list
yeah.
of things
yeah.
to be done.
If I finish off this month,
well, then what we ought to do is collate everything
the
on
financial
that,
year.
Collate
yeah.
everything on that list.
And then we'll go through everything on
an
the
annual
list.
Inspection by a professional.
At the next.
And then come up.
Yeah. Into in case something happens.
Yeah,
so
and then I think we can ask. We can probably come up with some sort of figure.
Yeah.
The only professional I know is the one that Southcams have, but presumably there are other such people around to do such.
Well,
work.
Perhaps that'd be something you could investigate for next week.
Did the chaplain built
it? He inspected. I've no doubt. The guy that constructed it
yeah.
lives over
yeah.
in Nambaway, I think.
He was very
could possibly talk to him about it.
Well,
I'm
reluctant to go back to
Southampton. If he does, he might know somebody that does.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe we should investigate that. And then perhaps next meeting we can sit down and look at
have
what's
a look
there
and see
and,
what all
and
the comments
what
are
needs
over
to be done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
good.
I pass it over to you.
Yes.
So,
get them to test it.
We dipped our toes, if you follow the expression, into high waves. Well, an unfortunate choice of words in this situation. Anything else on high waves?
General state, keep them all from.
So, what all what did we get back on our mobile phones?
Move into that. Sorry. Mobile telephone settings.
Right, very exciting. I would have circulated a very exciting report to all your councillors, except for a small problem, which
There's no sigma.
May I request a brief part two discussion at the end of this meeting?
Mm.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, I will give you some selected highlights of the 17-page report, which I'll send this to you.
brief. Nothing to do.
Highlights. Exactly. Basically, we have received, so far, received 50 responses from parishioners to the survey, which
that's
is kindly described by one of the councillors. Thank you for that.
Two.
Members of the council.
Three.
Thank you very
and
much
three.
For that. And
one,
staff.
Two, three.
So, I'm sure you'd be very surprised if I were to tell you that the majority of people in AFWIC reported a good mobile telephone signal.
Really?
Wow.
And you'd be right to be surprised, because the majority, 78% of people, sorry, I tell a lie, 82% say that they can't use a mobile telephone in the main areas of the house in AFWIC.
But they got a good signal.
And 68% say they can't use their mobile telephones outside their house.
But they got a good signal.
But no one is claiming
they
got a good
that
signal.
That was a joke.
Oh, right.
No one is claiming they got a good signal. 78% of people reported specific difficulties as a result of a lack of signal. But the main thing is that in almost every case, the estimate that the mobile telephone companies and Ofcom provide as to signal, particularly outside properties, is considerably overestimating the level of signal in the village. The level of people reporting no signal outside their houses is far in excess of what you'd expect according to the official coverage maps. And most of the people in the village are using one of two of the four networks. Or two of the four networks. So they are probably the people we should be targeting for trying to approach companies to get better.
We had other networks. We used other networks besides.
There are only four main networks. But anyway, I will circulate this to the councillors shortly, and we may be able to take things further. I would also be useful, I think, to publish at least part of this report to the people who have taken part in the survey.
Yeah.
In fact, the majority of people did give us permission to contact them to follow up with the survey, should we need to do so. But when I circulate this with you, I will circulate a draft of a web page we can put up on our website with selected results.
And
about
50 respondents, how many did you leaflet? How many parishioners have we got, or households have we got?
A lot over.
Something over 100, I would say.
Oh, right, so you've almost had 50% back.
Well, we went all the way along from Blackhall, right the way up to the top of the village.
And then I went
round
by Charford Farm.
Horsbrook, all the way round Horsbrook, all the way along
Manymead, all the way along the road here.
Manymead.
And we have had a response that covers the bulk of the village. The results are scattered across the area and do cover certainly the bulk of the main envelope of the central village and also some of the outlying areas as well.
I don't know if you got mine in the end, because I finished mine and I went send and he said you have no word. So I don't know if you got mine at all.
No, I did not, as an answer to your question off the top of my head.
But
so
you always had it.
Feel free to submit it again.
Had it, though. Yeah.
I will say, did anyone else get approached by the parishioners regarding this? So I've had two come up to me and go, they filled in their questionnaire and everything else. One of them in particular said when the phone mast at the top of the hill at North Urish was installed, they had really good signal inside and outside, and it has been in the last 6 months that it has really dropped away for some reason.
That's
something dramatically has changed. Whether up on that phone mast
it's
moved, or they've switched something off, or put
it
in a different direction.
With that, not many people have seen it.
Or a line of sight has changed, or something has happened up there.
Someone came running out of the house to tell me that.
Yeah,
I used to have a lovely signal.
I've had two like that.
My neighbour in my lodge said that.
I mean, I must say, on the other side, fantastic signal.
But even so, a lot of people didn't receive the signal from North Hewish even before it started.
Yeah, I know, but obviously some did, and for some reason
something
has changed.
Well, I certainly could, and it's gone.
And I had one from Trafford ring me up to say they couldn't have sent it off because they tried and
put in a post
back. But they didn't have a signal anyway.
My internet went.
It's just went.
I finished the whole thing.
When you read the report, you'll see some of these specific responses.
I was doing that with BBC News today.
Broadband's
okay here.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, it depends where you live.
True.
Yeah, but we do get, we've got at least three,
haven't
we?
You
might,
but I don't.
We'll get 36.
So that concludes that.
Well done.
It was good, anyway.
Very good.
Was Richard thanked for doing his great...
Oh, yes, his printing.
His printing,
yes.
That's a very good point.
Yeah,
I think it would be good
if Richard was thanked for doing the printing.
Mr. Ho, who's kindly offered to print the leaflets.
I believe he was thanked when he offered to do so.
I'm sure
yes, and then his printer broke down, and that's why we only got it. But I did read 4 days before.
Okay, so.
Items for future meetings? Well, we've got this.
We've got the play park thing.
We've got play park, and we've got.
Follow up from the mobile phone survey.
Can you add for different relations?
Good, yes.
Yeah. Possibly.
Speaker, James Savage, that would be good.
Okay, and the next meeting, 7th of April.
In Italy, or?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.